Well, it's exciting to be here in the afternoon service, and it's great to see the house full, which is really exciting. We are here, obviously, to press into Jesus together. And I was reminded as we were praying before the service, so easily we can say, okay, let's invite Jesus. But you know, each one of us brings the Holy Spirit. So when we come together, there's almost like an amplification of the presence of the Holy Spirit, because we all bring Him. Isn't that great? So it is wonderful to be together here, to be gathered together by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share today it's something that we so often talk about in Josh Jen, dying to live. And it's the price that is involved. Now, so often we can present the gospel like, it's all for free. There's nothing you have to do. It's all been done for you. And it is true, but there's another aspect to it, and that is it costs you everything. Because the only way into God's presence is through death. Jesus led the way. And we need to die to self. Without dying to self, we'll not get there. And if we're holding on to this life that we have, cost what may, and we won't get there. So we've been on a high. I'm going to bring you a bit down. As elders, we've been studying over the last couple of weeks what does discipleship actually mean? What does it actually involve? Because, you know, we've got so many words that we use as believers, and we think we've got an idea, but sometimes they just need to be demystified. And so we need to come to understand, what does it actually mean? Because we are all disciples called to disciple. Who is not discipling someone here? Okay, we've got at least one person. I think most of us are not discipling others, let's be honest. And maybe most of us have not been discipled. But that's not an excuse. You can't say, because I wasn't discipled, therefore, I can't disciple others. I grew up without a father, but I've been able to father 3 children. I can't say, because I didn't have a father, therefore I cannot be a father. Am I right? Okay, so we've been studying Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, and we all know it. We all know it by heart. Go, Jesus says to his disciples. He first starts off by saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. That means he is the highest authority in the universe. There's no one higher than him, because Father God has placed all authority in Jesus. And from that position of authority, Jesus gives the following words to his disciples. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. So disciples, we need to realize that's a process. Okay? There's a process involved in making disciples. And he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it comes, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'll be with you till the very end. And we listen to these words through a filter. When we read the word commands, we think Old Testament. It's not for us today. When we read the words obey, we think grace. I'm under grace. I'm fine. I don't need to obey. But remember, who is saying this? This is Jesus of Nazareth, Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh, who dwelt among us, who himself became obedient unto death, yea, even death on a cross. And therefore the Father exalted him and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, salvation would be made available. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory and honor of God the Father. Teach them to obey. How are we doing with obedience? How are we doing when we read the Bible? What verses do you not underline and why? It's a good question to ask. I'm sure you're not really good at underlining verses related to suffering and hardship and endurance and trial and testing and persecution. But it's all part and parcel of following Jesus, because what Jesus went through, we're not exempted from. He simply showed the way. And when Jesus called the disciples, he called them and he said, "Follow me." Come and see. And at the end, he is saying, "Now go and do. Go and make disciples." You know, as I was preparing, when I became a Christian about 40 years ago, there was the Forbes Millionaire Club. You know, and you could look up in Forbes magazine who were the 100 most successful millionaires. Well, the Forbes Millionaire Club is gone. It's replaced by the Forbes Billionaire Club. And it's not going to be long before there is going to be the Forbes 100 Trillionaire Club. And we can think of names like Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, George Soros, to just pick out a couple that we're quite familiar with. And we can think, wow, these guys have really made it. Wow. You know, they've got it. They're rolling in it. Jeff Bezos, he used COVID to multiply his fortune by I don't know how much. How many billions? And we can emulate them. We can think, you know, they are our role models. But let me tell you something. Jeff Bezos, rich, divorced. Bill Gates, rich, going through a divorce. Elon Musk, divorced 3 times. George Soros, divorced 2 times. Money does not bring happiness. So even though these people are paraded on social media as you know, kind of the epitome of human success, well, actually they are the epitome of human failure. Don't emulate them. Jesus says, "Follow me." And we look at Jesus' life and you think, well, he wasn't very successful. He came to earth for 33 years. He worked as a carpenter for most of that time in an obscure village in the north of Israel. And then he spent 3 years and he gathers a tiny bunch of people. At the end of his 3 years of investing in them, most of Israel is against him. Actually, those who claimed to follow him cried the loudest, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then right at the end, one of them denies him, actually betrays him. All the others deny him. They all run away. And then when Jesus rises from the dead, they're still huddling in the upper room perhaps or somewhere else where they're hiding from the authorities. And Peter even comes to the point of being so discouraged by it all that he says, "I'm going to go back fishing." And then just before Jesus rises into heaven, he gathers his disciples together and he says, "All authority has been given to me. And I'm going to hand over the baton to you." And you know what it says just before? It says some of them doubted. So if you're thinking about a successful person, obviously Jesus isn't the role model by worldly standards. But he's the role model by God's standards, because he is the greatest example of obedience that the earth has ever seen. Because he didn't do anything without seeing his Father do it. He didn't speak any word without hearing his Father say it. He was in constant communication with his Father. That's the one who said, "Follow me." I want to read from with you together from Mark's Gospel, from chapter 8, from verse 31. And what I'll do is we'll read through this passage in one go, and then we want to find out together what is God actually saying through this passage to us today. So, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Surely not, Lord. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and he says, "Get ye behind me, Satan." Jesus knew where it was coming from. He said, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, If anyone, if any of you would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his life, for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. Jesus spoke to them plainly. He spoke to them plainly about what was going to happen to him. That the culmination of his ministry would be the cross. Death and resurrection. You see, Jesus had far more to do than investing in 12 men. He had come to do his Father's will. Whatever the price, whatever the cost. So the context of this passage is that Jesus is now on his way to Jerusalem. He is going to the cross. He knows it. And he tells his disciples, and they don't believe it. They don't want to accept it because they've got other plans for Jesus. And you know, all of us have got other plans for Jesus. Let's be honest. Listen to your prayers. What are you praying for? Are you praying, "Lord, Lord, may I be more obedient, whatever it costs"? Are you praying, "Lord, help me to deny myself and to put you first in every situation"? Are you praying, "Lord, I need more of your Spirit so I'm more bold in sharing the gospel"? Let me give you a little giveaway. If you're writing, you may write this one down. We all want more of the Holy Spirit. We want more of the gifts of the Spirit manifesting in our lives. Am I right? Yes? We want more love, more kindness, more faithfulness, more patience, more self-control, more goodness. We want it all, don't we? Guess which one is not part of the gifts of the Spirit? Obedience. It's not a gift of the Holy Spirit, but I believe it's the key to unlock the gift. It's a key to activate the giver. You want more of the Holy Spirit to flow through your life? Start obeying. Start obeying. It's not a dirty word, really. It's the key to unlock the power and the mystery and the person of the Holy Spirit in your life as you've never seen before. Start obeying. Jesus says, if anyone, so it is open to everyone. He says, if anyone, and he talks to the crowd, and I'm talking to you today, if anyone, Jesus says, comes after me, that means follows me, is committed to follow me. If any one of you is committed to follow me, what must he do? He must deny himself. She must deny herself. Because ourselves are the biggest hindrance to God using us and flowing through us. Self is the greatest hindrance in the church. This morning when we were worshiping in the morning congregation and we were talking about, you know, they were singing, Jesus, to you is the glory, to you belongs the glory. And it suddenly hit me. If I at all draw any glory to myself in what I do, I become a thief, because the glory belongs to him and not to me. It's all about him. Jesus says, follow me. That means he goes ahead. You know what a shepherd shows his sheep? The most vulnerable aspect of his body, his back. When Jesus showed his back, when he was arrested, he was nearly flogged to death. Back is a vulnerable thing. You know, there's not many preachers that want to show their backs, make themselves vulnerable to their churches. But they want to show the front. We should be willing to show our backs and focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Who cares what happens to our backs? And I keep my eyes on Jesus and I see his back. What he suffered for me. And Jesus says, follow me. But in order to do it, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. You know, a cross for us is a little thing we put on a chain around our necks, or something we hang on the wall in our house or in our churches. And it hasn't got the same thing, the same connotation for us as it had for the Jews and for people in the Roman Empire. Whenever you would go into a city, the roads into that city would not be lined with billboards. It would be lined with crosses. 1, 2, 3, in some cases, hundreds. And people would be left to rot on those crosses for days, till the ravens had picked the bodies clean. Why? Because it was the Romans' billboard. If you rebel against Rome, this will be your destiny. And when Jesus walked in Jerusalem, he walked past those crosses. You think there were only 3 crosses? Oh no. When Jesus saw that, he knew he was going to hang on one of those crosses. What does it mean to take up your cross? What does it mean? It means to deny yourself. It means to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I will not pursue my rights. I will pursue you. Lord, I will not try to win my place. I want to point to your place. I don't want to draw attention to me. I want to draw attention to you. Lord, I must decrease so you can increase. Take up your cross. And it's in a way being dead to self. The Apostle Paul said it in Romans 12, verse 1, that we need to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, keeping yourself on the altar. Again, it's a strange concept for us. But Jesus goes on to explain. He says, for whoever. So it is anyone can follow him. Okay? Anyone. The invitation is to all. But he says, whoever wants to save his life, whoever wants to become his own savior, he will lose it. No, Jesus speaks plainly. But whoever loses his life. And the next 2 words are important, Jesus says, for me. There are many people who are willing to give their lives for a cause. Hamas is very happy to sacrifice their own children and women. and as many Israeli lives as possible for their cause. They're even willing to die themselves, blowing up others. But they're still losing their lives because they're not doing it for Jesus. It's totally and utterly meaningless. There's only meaning if we lose our lives for Jesus, and Jesus says, and for the gospel. That person will save his life. Isn't that interesting? If we lose our lives, if we totally surrender our lives to Jesus, and it will be evident in what we do with the gospel. Why have you been entrusted with the gospel? Why have you been saved? To get a ticket to heaven? If that was the case, the Lord would have raptured you long ago. Because he's taken a tremendous risk with leaving us on earth. Okay? It would have been far more expedient for the kingdom to save a person, put the Holy Spirit in them, transform them in an instant, whisk them up to heaven. Why are we here? Why are you here? It's for the gospel. How will they know? How will they hear? Unless you tell them. Oh, but I'm not a good communicator. Obviously, you haven't died to self. I'm afraid. Obviously, you haven't died to fear of men. What will they do to me? You still haven't died. All those excuses, I'm not very literate. I'm not very, very expressive. They might reject me. Well, so did they reject Jesus. And it shows the excuses that come up show that you haven't really died to self. You're still holding on to your life. And Jesus goes on to say, that's why I put in the billionaires club. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world? What good? What good? What good? This world will pass away. And everything in it, all the wealth, all the celebrities, all the glory of men, it will all pass away. What good is it for a man? I can hear Jesus say this with sorrow in his heart because he sees the crowd and he knows so many are pursuing the world. They've been taken captive by the lies of the world. And Jesus realizes that unless they repent and give heed to his call to follow him, they will perish. What good is it for a man or for a woman to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can men give in exchange for their souls? And my answer is nothing. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. And it's not just for us here, it's for the people out there. There is nothing, nothing, nothing they can do to save themselves. Money is not going to do it. Property is not going to do it. Status is not going to do it. Skin color is not going to do it. Nothing is going to do it. And Jesus goes on to say, and this has to do with the gospel. You know, are we willing to give up our lives for Jesus and the gospel? Because in verse 38, Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, that is the gospel. If anyone, you see, the invitation is open to everyone. But now Jesus is talking to us individually. First to his disciples, but through his word to us today. And he says, if any one of you here is ashamed of me and my words. In this adulterous and sinful generation, the world we live in, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of you. When he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. Oh, these are sobering words. And yet we need to hear them because these are warnings. You see, Peter denied Jesus to save his skin. But what he should have done, he should have denied self. But he was holding on, and yet Jesus restored him. And it shows how much hope there is for us when we have denied him. When you had that opportunity to share the gospel, and you didn't because you weren't quite sure how they were going to react. Whether they would still like you, whether you would still have a job. And it shows how much we're holding on to this life. And this life is more important. Our status, our job, our me is more important than Jesus. And yet we say, oh, I follow Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a Josh Jenner. I believe in dying to live when the rubber hits the road. It shows which car you're driving. And who's driving it? See, the gospel isn't cheap. It's jolly expensive. Because it cost Father God his Son to make a way. And Jesus isn't looking for part of you. He's looking for all of you. He doesn't want a tithe. He wants 100%. He wants everything. He wants all in response to what he has given to you. He gave his all. That's why he is asking for everything. No holding back. When the rich young ruler said, Lord, I follow you. What must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you know the commandments. He said, yep, I do. You know, and Jesus names 4 or 5 commandments. He said, I've done them all. And Jesus says, go. Give all your possessions to the poor. And then follow me. The young man turned around. Very sad. Because he was very wealthy. And Jesus didn't say, negotiate 50%, 10%, and follow me. No, it's all or nothing. It's take up your cross and deny yourself. I don't know about you, but when I'm standing before Father's throne, and I'm confronted with the glory of Jesus, I don't want to be confronted with a Lord who is ashamed of me before his Father. This is the time to count the cost. Don't wait. Don't wait. This is the time to put things right, because Jesus is coming back. And he is coming back in his Father's glory with his holy angels to gather all those that claim to be his followers. And you may say, yeah, but you know, I was saved. I said the sinner's prayer. I got baptized. You know, Jesus doesn't say, if you got your baptism certificate, you're in. He says, have you done the will of my Father? Have you obeyed my words? Have you denied yourself and taken up your cross? Are you following me daily? Or are you ashamed of me? Are you ashamed of my words? Are you ashamed of my gospel? Because I've chosen you to communicate through. I didn't choose another people. I chose you. The only way people out there can hear my voice is when they hear yours. When you don't speak, Jesus says, you silence me. When you don't live the way I lived, you're denying me, because people cannot see you, cannot see me in you. When you don't love one another as I have loved you, then how will the world know that you belong to me? But there's hope. There's hope because there's time. There's time. Today is the day we can turn things around. Today is the day that we can unlock the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives by making a commitment to obey Him. And I want to challenge you, hold each other accountable, because that's discipleship. Discipleship is not just, you know, going through the little purple book and you've done it. Discipleship is walking with one another. And holding each other accountable. How are you doing with your quiet time? Do you have any desire to share Jesus, what Jesus has done with you, what Jesus has done for you, what Jesus has done through you with others? No? Okay, well, let's just pray about it. How are you doing with denying yourself and picking up your cross? That's how we can hold each other accountable and stirring one another up, encouraging one another towards love and good deeds. What we just did is worship. I believe that. But I tell you, denying yourself and picking up your cross daily and following Jesus is also worship. Because it puts a big smile on Jesus' face. Jesus sees each one of you. Nothing is hidden from you. He knows your hearts. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows where you're still sitting on your own throne and making your own decisions because, you know, this is my money that I earned. I can spend it the way I want. Isn't it? What are you going to do with this? I believe the Lord has spoken through His word today. And He is asking a simple question. You're willing to obey me? To obey my commands. He didn't say my good ideas. It's not a motivational speech, guys. It isn't. Jesus isn't into motivational speech. He isn't into make you feel better, nice and cozy and happy inside. Because that's not going to get you to heaven. Jesus is about telling the truth plainly. What are you going to do? You're going to obey Him and obey His commands? Now read through the Gospels. Read through the Gospels. And when you read and Jesus gives a command, an instruction, ask yourself, Jesus, am I doing this? Am I living this? If not, help me to live it. Help me to obey it. I want to obey you. Because it's all about obedience. Interestingly, I know there are people who say it's all about love and grace. But Jesus says, if you love me, you obey my commands. You see, He enables us to obey. He enables, He sets the standard so high that you can't do it in your own strength. You need His help. And that's why He gave the Holy Spirit. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Helper. And He lives within you. He's only a prayer away. Help me, Lord. I want to share your word with my colleagues, with my fellow students, with my relatives, with the people I meet on the street. Help me to hear what you're saying. When you're pointing out, speak to that person. Lord, that I will not hold back, but I will surge forwards, trusting that you will give me the words to speak. I think Jesus wants a response from you today. And how are you going to respond? As I said, the price is incredibly high. It will cost you all. Just like it costed Him all. the rewards outweigh whatever we have to give up. Because the reward is in eternity with Jesus. Not to mention the joy that we'll experience from following him here on earth. I think there's two groups of people here today. I think one group, where we're all probably in, is the group that is struggling to obey. Totally. And I'm not looking, and Jesus is not looking for legalistic obedience. He's looking for obedience that comes out of relationship, out of a love relationship with him. If we truly love him, we will love the lost as he loves the lost. If we truly love him, we will love one another as he loves one another. If we truly love him, we will deny self-love. So the one group is the ones that are struggling to obey. And the other group is the ones who have never made Jesus Lord and Savior of their lives. I want to challenge you, for those of you who have never made Jesus Lord or Savior, never bow the knee to him and say, Jesus, I need you. Because my sins are in the way. Myself is in the way. I need you to save me from the consequences of my sins. If that is you, I want you to stand up. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I want you to stand up. I'm not into close your eyes so that nobody sees you. Oh yes, I've seen that hand. It's the most wonderful decision that you can make, and we want to all see it. Because it comes very close to, well, we don't want you to be ashamed of Jesus. Let's not start that way. If you know you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, then today is the day. And I charge you, I challenge you, stand up and come forward. And we'll pray with you. Because today is the day unto salvation. Now, it either means that you're all saved. And if that's the case, I'm just looking for crosses. I'm looking for the ones that are carrying crosses. Thankfully, they are invisible. But Jesus can see them. And for every one of you who is struggling to obey, struggling to deny themselves and to take up their cross daily, who is struggling communicating about their relationship with Jesus, with the lost. Anyone here, I want you to stand up.